season of mists and mellow fruitfulness. If that line does ring a bell, then it may be because at one point you learned what has been called the most anthologized poem in all of English literature. It's the poem of John Keats, and it's called To Autumn. Autumn, like all the seasons, has evoked its share of poetry. But the difference between most autumn poetry and Keats's famous Ode to Autumn is that most of autumn poetry doesn't speak very well of the season. Bare ruined choirs, Shakespeare called it, where yellow leaves or none or few do hang. Most people see autumn as fundamentally bleak, because autumn, of course, is where the leaves drop and die, the presage of winter, which is the season of death. And that's why, ironically, given that we have all built our sukkah, Rilke begins his poem on autumn, "Who now has no house will not build one anymore." So it is very strange timing, if you think about it, to celebrate the new year in autumn. Now you know that the Jewish calendar has four new years. One of them is Pesach, spring. But the principal one, of course, is the one we just celebrated, which we celebrate as the earth begins, or at least our section of it, our part of it begins, to move into the season of things disappearing. And not only is it strange that Sukkot and Rosh Hashanah are celebrated now because of the seasonal idea, but even historically, it doesn't make much sense. You know that all holidays, the three regalim, the three major holidays, Passover, Sukkot, and Shavuot, have two different aspects to them. One is an agricultural aspect. This is the autumn harvest. But the other is the historical aspect. And that means that the sukkah represents what? The huts that the Israelites lived in as they went through the desert. But what holiday celebrates our liberation to go through the desert? Not Rosh Hashanah, not Yom Kippur. We left Egypt back in Passover. So Sukkot should be after Passover, not after Rosh Hashanah. What are we doing celebrating it now? It's about wandering in the desert. We didn't wander in the desert when the world was created. We wandered in the desert after we left Egypt. And if you think about it, it's not even so nice. The world is created. We've redeemed ourselves. We're no longer sinners. We've gone through Yom Kippur, and all of a sudden, they stick us in the desert. If you recall, Adam and Eve didn't start out in the desert. They started out in the garden. How about a few days in the garden before we have to live in the huts? Would make sense. And historically, it would track. But there are things, of course, hidden in the idea of autumn that makes it such a powerful and beautiful season. First of all, there is a force in endings that you don't get in the middle or the beginning of something. Think about the match flaring right before it goes out. Think about how powerful people's words are at parting, when they say goodbye. And sometimes in a long relationship, the only thing that you remember are those last words that were spoken, the words of autumn. It's one of the reasons why, although you don't see it so much in Los Angeles, autumn is such a brilliantly beautiful season. And if you've never been in a place like the northeastern corridor of the United States, where autumn really shows its stuff, then you haven't seen what I think is the most beautiful sight, the most beautiful time that the natural world has to show. Which leads us to the second point about Sukkot. Because I said before, every Jewish holiday has two dimensions, a historical dimension and an agricultural dimension. But really, of course, it has a third dimension, which is the spiritual dimension. And if we understand what it is that Sukkot means spiritually, then its timing in autumn will make sense. You know that, first of all, there is a debate among the rabbis about what the Sukkah is supposed to represent. One rabbi says it represents the hut in the wilderness, and the other rabbi says, no, it doesn't represent the huts that people build. It represents the covering of clouds that God gave to the Jewish people, because a Sukkah means a covering. So in other words, one rabbi interprets it as that which human beings built, the Sukkah, and the other interprets it as that which God did, the clouds. And that's why today, when you sit in a Sukkah, what is it that you must be able to see when you sit in your Sukkah at night? The stars. Because you have to be able to see what people made and what God made. That's how we reconcile the two rabbis. And what that means, in part, forget the stars for a moment, forget the clouds for a moment, and remember what it is they represent. In other words, you have to see that which is of this world and that which is beyond this world. You have to see the material, the corporeal, and you have to see the eternal. Autumn is about the idea that the physical, in this brilliant burst of color, gasps and dies. But we know that there's renewal coming behind. We know that after winter, there will be renewal. We know that there is something that is eternal behind everything that is temporal. Something that is lasting behind everything that is decaying and ending. That the Sukkah goes up and comes down, but it recalls something that never changes. And that's the theme that stands behind Sukkot all the time. It's why we read Kohelet. Do you remember how Kohelet begins? Everything is vain, everything is futile. After all, one generation comes, another goes, but the earth goes on forever. In other words, as I look around and I realize that everything we are and everything we care about is all autumn. That is, it's colorful and beautiful, and then it disappears. I also know that behind it, beyond it, within it, is something eternal. In the words of the Protestant theologian T.R. de Chardin, we are not physical beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a physical experience. The Sukkah is temporary. Our physical experience is temporary. But behind it is eternity. And that's why you can have redemption, which is what, after all, the Sukkah represents. God brings us out in the wilderness to redeem us. You can have redemption in the winter and in the spring. Because it's not dependent on the material circumstances of the world. It's something higher and deeper. It's Zman Simchatenu, specifically, this is called the time of our joy, because at the moment that you liberate yourself from the sadness of autumn, from the realization that things end, there is a tremendous joy in the eternity that lies behind it. The great Russian writer Isaac Babel said that he was a boy with spectacles on his nose and autumn in his heart. I always thought that was a beautiful image. because he saw visibly and he saw internally. That is, he knew that the things of this world had to be very carefully described. He was a writer, after all, to enable people to see beyond them. The sukkah is, after all, in its way, a strange symbol. We build these huts and we sit in them for a week or so, and then we take them down. And they're supposed to stand for all the things in our lives that we think of as forever that are really temporary. But also, they're supposed to liberate us from seeing only the visible. They're supposed to allow us to realize that the sukkah comes and goes, but the reason to build it, the motivation behind it, stays forever. Emerson said once, "I believe in magnetism, not in needles." In other words, some people, when they look at the compass, all they see is the needle. All they see is what's visible. All they see is what points. But Emerson said, "What I believe in are the forces behind it, not the needle." And that's exactly what the sukkah is supposed to mean. Don't believe in that which you see alone, in your house, in your car. Even in yourself. Not if you think that all you are is a material, visible manifestation of some ancient accident of chemistry with a little help from physics. Because, in fact, there are greater forces, more powerful forces, that bring us seasons, as we said before, of beauty, of mists, and mellow fruitfulness. But at the end of this week, we roll back the Torah and we begin again. And the first lesson is that all of this, all this visible array, all this beautiful pageant, all the flare and rust of color of autumn was created by God. And it is God that ensures us eternity. And that's why this is the time of our joy. Chag Sameach, Shabbat Shalom.